So, hello.
Good morning.
We're at Darren and Monaco Polish Check. We'd like to thank. We're so appreciative of people like Pastor Brandon, Pastor Miranda, other people that have welcomed us into this congregation and being able to share with you today. We come from Calgary, Alberta, not so far from here, but we've served in Cambodia as missionaries for the past 10 years. But we're not pastors, actually. We're social entrepreneurs. And we'd like to share with you today what we've been doing there by the grace of God. In today's world, business is often viewed as a way to make money, gain power, climb the social ladder. But as Christians, we're called to a higher purpose. Can business be used for something more than building your status on earth? Can it be a means of glorifying God and transforming lives? We believe the answer is yes, and we've experienced it. Businesses, especially when used for good in impoverished countries, such as Cambodia, with a kingdom mindset, becomes a powerful ministry, a tool for transformation and a reflection of Christ's love and justice. In the Bible, work and business are seen as part of God's plan for humanity. When we look at the early Acts in church and Acts, we see believers who are business owners, craftsmen, merchants, using their skills and resources for the kingdom of God. The Apostle Paul, a tent maker by trade, used his business to fund his missionary journeys. And he encouraged others to work diligently in whatever vocation they found themselves. Ephesians 2:10 states that we are created to work, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that God prepared beforehand. We're created to work. When I first visited Cambodia in 2008, the poverty was overwhelming. These are some of the pictures of some of the trips that we were on in the past. Women, children, men, they're being trafficked in plain sight. Women were selling themselves in brothels. Men were taking life-threatening jobs for pennies. And the children were being sold or scavenging. And this is how they were working. A lack of hope loomed the air. Drunkenness, gambling was rampant. Poverty was a huge catalyst for domestic violence. And the unthinkable became normal. And that's the work that they had. It was humiliating, degrading work. When we saw that, we were totally wrecked. And God moved us to do something. So in 2009, we purchased products made by the poor and sold them within Canada. And then with the proceeds, bought more from those in the third world. But we felt called to do more. So in 2015, we moved to Cambodia, not to take jobs, but to create jobs, specifically those trapped in poverty. And we experienced success in business. In fact, we actually started 4 Cambodian businesses, and we're considering starting 2 more. Pray for us. But this is all God's doing. In the last 7 years, Cambodia has actually changed a lot. According to the United Nations, Cambodia is considered an emerging market. Using the MPI, Multidimensional Poverty Index, measuring health, education, and standard of living across 100 developing nations, Cambodia's incidence of poverty fell from 36% to 16.6%, so almost half in the last 7 years. Now, I'd love to say we were part of that, but no, I don't think we were. Either way, this type of development growth is unprecedented, and Cambodia is being praised for being an example to other countries that poverty can be eliminated. And God placed us here in a time such as this as business entrepreneurs for Jesus. But even so, trafficking in persons report that is sent out by the UN, Cambodia is still rated as a country that is corrupt and turns a blind eye to trafficking. You know, around our house, there are 3 brothels that I've opened up, and we drive by them every evening. You know, you see them with the bright lights on, the girls sitting on benches, scantily dressed, and then there's a man, usually some kind of security person with a baton. And sometimes I thought, oh, you know what, I'm going to take a picture to show you guys, this is what it looks like. And you drive by them, and as soon as they see you with a camera, they start coming after you. Some of our ladies worked in places like that. The clothing center. 5 years ago, a friend of a friend's friend supported us by donating funds for 7 ladies. These are ladies that used to do greeting cards, rent for 8 months, and provided 3 sewing machines, and then gave us an order of 10,000 drawstring bags. And that bloomed into a sewing center called Clothed in Dignity. And God helped us to grow by employing 25 ladies now, and through the orders of school uniforms, T-shirts, sports outfits, polo shirts, bags, pencil cases, and 30,000 masks over COVID, we have grown. And then, as you've probably heard, Samaritan's Purse gave us a few orders, So in the last 2 years, we've made 80,000 t-shirts, 50,000 hair scrunchies, and 27,000 pencil cases. You know, business can become a powerful ministry when used with a kingdom mindset. First of all, business draws in people. It's easy to find people to want to join us and work for us. I get requests on a weekly basis to hire somebody in need. It's easy for countries to want us, to give us business visas. They want us to come to create work for their people. And there's little suspicion about why we're there, and there's lots of gratitude from the locals. They thank us. Thank you for coming to Cambodia. As owners and leaders, it's easy to enforce daily staff meetings, which are in fact devotions, training such as reading, writing, math, health classes, finance classes. Each meeting starts with prayer, ends with prayer requests, where the ladies share what's on their hearts. And often within the group, there's someone who's able to help, and it forms a real strong community. And I'm so glad that some of you were able to come and join us with that, and even to lead in the devotions. So I think you might see some of them in the pictures up here. It's a little small, so you might have to really squint and look, but they are in those pictures. They had desperate lives, these people, but they're learning about Jesus, and they're learning how to sow, and it's getting better. Ultimately, all our work, including business, is for the glory of God. Colossians 3, 23 to 24 says, "Whatever your task, put yourselves into it as done unto the Lord, since you know that it is from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward." It reminds us that all that we do, we're serving Christ. The reward that we receive for doing this work, this business, is not for this on earth, but it's for heaven. That means that business, like any form of work, is an act of worship. When we approach business this way, every decision, every deal, every interaction becomes an opportunity to reflect God's character. The way we run our business can draw people to Christ. When they see a commitment to integrity, love, justice, they will see the glimpse of God's kingdom on earth. And business can be a platform through which we preach the gospel, not just with words, but with actions. God knew of this business from the beginning. He knew it would be used to proclaim eternal life. He knew us, our families. He knew our staff, their families, their neighbors, their villages, their vendors, our customers, our freight forwarders, our landlords, the government, the Ministry of Labor, Vocational Training, Ministry of Industry, Ministry of Commerce, Ministry of Import-Export, Ministry of Tax, our business consultants, our tax consultants, those who purchase fabric from, other missionaries that we partner with, ministries that are built up in our villages from the small church that started on the land that we have in Phnom Dai. They all hear about Jesus. From being transport with our finances to everyone, not just to people in our organizations or our stakeholders, but to a government that often works with bribes and often charges extra payments, to how we deal with transactions with our vendors. Sometimes we actually pay more than they charge us because we find that they made a mistake. And not just to them, but to our staff. When they're sick or something happens, they need emergency funds, we give them interest-free loans. And we go to their homes, we visit them, we go to the hospital when they're sick, we see their newborn babies, and starting nursery care for mothers who have no support at home. But you know what? This is where we need your help. We need to be able to continue helping them. And now that we need to find more work for our ladies. We've just finished our large order for Samaritan's Purse in August, and now we're doing small orders, but we need more. So if anyone has any business-to-business kind of work, please think of us. For example, if you know of large bulk t-shirt orders that you would like, think of us. We'd love to help you. If you want to purchase any products that we have over there brought on wholesale, you could purchase them on wholesale and retail it for us. That would be fantastic. If you're somewhat connected with the garment industry, please think of us. If you're a distributor, if you know how to sew, if you're a pattern maker, if you're good with social media, newsletters, if you have a product idea that you think may be able to help us, please think about us, because your connection can save lives. The other way to provide support is financial support. The work we have is enough to cover the bases, operational, but not really for capacity building. So, and we want to grow. We want to be able to help more ladies learn about Jesus. So as some of you know, we purchased land already, and we would love to build a sewing center. And we'd love to build it in stages. first building, then second building. So bit by bit, we want to grow and be able to help more and more ladies. So it would be, the first building would just be the basics, like a sewing center or sewing room, cutting room, fabric storage, packing, kitchen, that kind of thing, where we could load from semi-trucks. We need large container trucks at this point to be able to take that. And we have another project we call Project Access, because this is the kind of road we have leading to our lab right now. Now, if you can imagine, it's going to be kind of hard to get a container unit through there. And so we need to build a road. So we call this, we need an access road. And so with this road, we wanted to create access not only to the building, but access to income for those ladies, access for dignity for 500 employees, access to Jesus for those employees. With this access road and the land prep, we estimate it will be about 16,000 US, and we hope that the land and the road will be able to reach more and more people for Jesus. We're also raising support to start a daycare. One of our ladies got pregnant, and we've been thinking about a daycare project for a while, and then she kind of got pregnant, and she's coming back to work December 9th. So that kind of started us thinking, okay, we need to open up a daycare center, because we've been thinking about this for a while, and it kind of pushed us. And then actually another church said, hey, we want to put in a project proposal. Do you have a proposal for us? And so we proposed, okay, could you maybe raise some support for daycare? And they gave us $4,500 US. So we thought, okay, let's go for it. And so now we're just raising a little bit more support for the salaries of the people. And it would be, so if we're hoping to raise another $4,500, so that hopefully that will support, two staff members that could help take care of kids. And since we suggested that, all our ladies were super happy, and they decided they want children. And so there's actually another lady who's pregnant and another lady who's trying to get pregnant. So we'll grow our business one way or the other. The cost, we also want to do silkscreen printing. The cost of silkscreen printing, one color, is costing about the same as a price of a T-shirt, actually. And so we would love to be able to do it ourselves and provide more work for our people. And so that's another thing that we're hoping to do and to build greater kingdom impact. We're thinking a machine like this might be about $10,000. There was an estimated, like, the company that helped start us estimated it to be about $50,000, but we think it would be less than that because they're thinking Canadian, we're thinking Cambodian. So, but anyways, I think a machine like this one is about $10,000. We need a bit more things, but it's a good start. And now I want to share a story about one of our staff. Her name is Sarai. She's one of our seamstresses. She was born in 1987, and her father committed suicide, and her mother was actually a second wife and it made her a bit of an outsider, and there was 9 half-siblings that she grew up with. So she often grew up scavenging or having odd jobs without employment. Sarai only has 1 year of schooling, and as a child, she worked to support her family. And then as an adult, she worked in construction where she met her husband and had 3 kids. When she was pregnant with the third one, she was paralyzed from the hip down, and she didn't know why, and a lot of her neighbors suspected that she was cursed. Because in Cambodia, they live in a culture of superstition and the invisible world of the ancestors and spirits. And so she ended up having to do a lot of things to try to appease them. However, visits to the witch doctor brought no healing, and Sarai thought she was going to die. And during this time, a medical doctor visited her in the village, and he discovered that she was already 5 months pregnant, and she had TB. So the doctor supported her with the necessary medications. And eventually she regained her health, and joyfully she gave birth to a little girl, which actually some of our team members met. She's so beautiful. So raising 3 kids, she wanted to stay at home, but her husband's income wasn't enough, and so she used to scavenge at the city dump. And if that wasn't hard enough, one day her husband, who was drunk, became violent, and he stabbed his brother-in-law, which is Sarai's brother, and then he got thrown in prison. So thankfully, that brother survived, but Sarai's husband was then in prison for 2 years, and then she was left alone with 3 little kids, having to raise support for them, and also in the prisons, you have to provide food for your spouse, so she had to get food for him too. All that time, So she started scavenging. She started crying when she was sharing this story because it was so hard. All the neighbors were looking down on her, didn't want anything to do with her. And she was scavenging, trying to get as much food as she could. She was actually collecting red ants, which some of you may know that it's a type of spice in Cambodia. And then it was really difficult. After her husband returned from prison, it took months for her to be able to allow him back into the family. Hope came into her life when Sopek, one of our seamstresses, actually brought her a food package in 2020 through. We had a COVID relief campaign where we just distributed some food to the poorest of the poor. We actually asked our seamstresses to say, who is the poorest in your village? And tell us why you would recommend them to receive food. And she was one of them. And so then we got to know who she was. And then another organization donated her salary for about a year, and she started working for us from April 2021. And after that, she's actually a really good seamstress, and she continued to work with us. And she's now learning how to read and write a little bit through reading Bible verses, if you can believe that, and learning more about Jesus. Her life has changed so much. She no longer needs to scavenge in the garbage dump. She has a stable job. Her three children are able to attend school. And she was even able to buy a bicycle for her oldest to continue school in junior high. Furthermore, since Sarai is grateful that her husband, who you see there, he was the one in prison. He, at first, it was really hard for him to find jobs because nobody would hire him. Nobody believed that he has gotten better. And so then Darren hired him. And since then, they both, he heard about Jesus. And after a week, actually, he wanted to become a believer. He had heard about Jesus in the prison, actually, but didn't believe right away. And then when he found out that we're also doing devotions at the fabrication center, he wanted to be a Christian right away. And he was one of the first to become baptized. And so she talks about how much her life has changed since she has learned about Jesus, since she's gotten hope in her life. And she knows that God loves her. You know, as Christians, we're called to use every aspect of our lives, including business, for the kingdom of God. Business is not separate from ministry. It's a vital part of it. So whether we're business owners, whether we're employees, whether we're leaders, whether we're students, wherever we are, we're called to work as though we're serving Christ. So let's ask ourselves, how can what we be doing, whether we're working, whether we're volunteering, whether we're students, whatever we're doing, be used for ministry? How can I use my skills and resources to transform lives and communities? How can I bring glory to God through the way I work? When we embrace what we're doing as ministry and as a tool for transformation, we become part of God's redemptive plan to bring hope, justice, and love to a broken world. So let's commit to doing that for good, for transformation, for God's glory. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, "Therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, unmovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, for you know that in the Lord your labor is not in vain."
So I'm the strong, silent type. Today I want to share some reflections and stories about the journey we've been on. We've been in Cambodia for 10 years. But you know, going back, over 60% of the Bible talks about what taking care of the poor and the needy really looks like. But I've never really understood that until I saw what poverty looked like in the faces of broken people. Until I smelled, working with the staff on a daily basis, that smell that just never goes away. What it feels like as you hold the hand of a hungry child who may never have enough food to eat in their lifetime. And the heart-wrenching look on a mother's face as she sells her body and her soul so her family can live. You know, until your faith is soaked in the calling of obedience, what God calls you to, until the words you read in your Bible leap off the pages as the meeting the needs of the lost and the hurting world. Until those faces can never be erased from your thoughts again, you're far poorer in your faith than you were ever meant to be. I work with men who live in a community of garbage sump scavengers, day laborers. Most have an average of a grade 3 education. Many have addictions to alcohol, smoking, gambling. Some have been in prison, as you heard, in attempted murder or property theft. Some have been absentee fathers. Most live under spiritual oppression and crushing generational poverty. And it's in this community we run businesses that teach about fabrication, making things, about fish farming, and especially about the love of Jesus. Together, we employ about 50 men and women between us, representing just as many families. Here they are gathered around as we celebrated the latest baptism that we had. Many have been redeemed from darkness and are now walking in the light. And the gospel is transforming this community, and the neighbors all know it. The main training we fall back on is to trust and obey that God will take care of us as we step into whatever he asks us to do. You know, some days he leads us down a muddy road like this, and we have no idea why we're going here and what we're doing. But the next day, he takes us on a detour, and we realize that he's been preparing us for something that required us to go on that muddy road for some reason. But you know, from a skills perspective, neither of us have really been trained to do what we're doing right now. But that's okay. The work is God's, and he gets all the glory for what's happening. And we are grateful to be doing what we're doing. This is the property we started with 4 years ago. And today, it's a large shop, a fish farm, a nursery, and a community space. And this is what we use for sports and children's activities and the church. And here are the ECAC team, where they've been teaching Bible stories and how to play hockey and basketball. They don't have hockey in Cambodia. They do now. We have church and fellowship times, and it's great to get together with people. And this picture in particular, it was very interesting. We had first-time people just show up because we had the week before all of the visitors and all of the children. And so we had elderly women come because their grandchildren had come. We had children come who had been part of that, who had never been in church before. And so it was great to see that connection with the people. We also have another connection with the children, and that is Grace Learning. We have partners with a local church, and they are teaching the kids English, physical activities, and Bible stories. And we've had a chance to actually create a classroom for them. We build things so we can make what we want. You know, we have 4 fish farms right now. This is our latest one. It's very big. It's about a hectare in size. We have and are growing about 300,000 fish, and it creates a lot of work for people. Here is a picture of our team and volunteers who are working to help prepare some of the equipment that we use to keep the fish. And then in January, we're embarking on some new business opportunities. We're going to put in a new solar dryer dome for drying fish and fruit and vegetables. And we're going to expand our farms to include not only fish and vegetables, but we're also expanding into our own market so that we can sell everything right directly from our farms instead of selling to wholesalers who then sell. So it's creating work all around. A lot of things happening in the last 4 years. We have many visitors who come to see us at our sites. You know, it's fascinating. They come because they've heard that there's something successful going on. But they go away hearing about the love of God. every one of them, whether they're government officials, aquaculture specialists from around the world, students who are learning about aquaculture, many, many, many of them are secular, no exposure to God and understanding of who God and Jesus are. They come and we tell them why we're here, what we're doing. It's not about business. It's not about fish or creating a place for children to play. It's about bringing hope, bringing a connection, bringing life into the community. Next slide, please. The man in the white, his name is Ratanak. The team from ECAC met Ratanak because he just started with us. He's a pastor that's working with us and some of our newer staff who have no exposure to the gospel at all. The new staff have come with a whole bunch of new challenges. You know, broken, hurting people hurt themselves and others every day. And I wish I could give them a pair of special glasses which they could see what they're doing to each other. We are called to walk with them, to support them in presence and in prayer, and to be a witness of the fruit of the Spirit that has taken root in our lives, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, etc. So Keek, one of the gentlemen in this picture, is one of our new staff. His mother recently passed away. Their family is extremely poor, and they had to borrow money just to have a simple funeral for her. Many Cambodians don't understand about spending too much, borrowing too much, and never being able to repay. So a few weeks after the funeral, Sokik's father came to him and tried to pressure him into taking out a very large loan so that they could have a celebration of life, because the funeral was very poor and very simple. The father said, "You don't have to worry. You're working now, but your sister's working too, and she can pay back the loan, but you need to sign." And Sokik knew that his sister would never be able to repay the loan, and he would end up being in abject poverty to this loan for the rest of his life. And so as a result, he has refused to sign the loan, and his father continues to put pressure and is getting angry with him. But a few days ago, I got the following message from Ratanak about Sokik. He says, "I want to let you know that Sokik, he starts to pray for his father that he's sick with kidney stone, and the doctor at the hospital won't care for him. But Sokik, he said that he started to pray to God, Jesus, at the time, because he don't have any other way to do so. After prayer to God for 2 days, the doctor started to treat his father very well, and then he didn't need to pay for treatment at all. Now his father is back home, and Sokik can go back to work as well. Sokik, he's so happy, and he shares this miracle with tears of joy. Now he joined with our church telegram group fellowship at the village, and he said that he will go to church with his wife someday also. Thank you, Jesus. Amen." You know, we have countless numbers of stories like this, both of items and things that we want to just shout out to God in praise about. But we also have many stories that we need prayer for. And we would like to invite you to become part of our prayer group that would pray for the things that we need on a timely basis. So we're going to take advantage of some technology to do this. Everybody's got WhatsApp, something like WhatsApp. But WhatsApp has a feature in it that allows us to send out a broadcast message, basically to give you prayer requests or praise items or pictures or stories. And they go out to you individually, even though it's going out to everybody at the same time. And then you can reply and say you're praying, or, you know, you're saying you're encouraged, or whatever. Just join us in the story about what God is doing. So we invite you to, if you're interested, to come and see us at the tables afterwards. Put your name down on a piece of paper with your phone number and we'll get you hooked up for that. You know, A.B. Simpson, the founder of the Christian and Missionary Alliance, was asked by a member of his congregation many, many years ago about what is the best way to serve this lost and hurting world. To which he famously responded, pray, give, or go. Notice that do nothing is not an option. Starting with prayer, learn to commune with God and listen to the promptings of the Holy Spirit that wants to guide you into a richer, more rewarding relationship with Him, where He invites you into that place where He has created you, what He's created you for. Listen carefully. Learn to hear His voice over all the other noise in your life. Giving, as you've heard Monaco talk about, is a form of worship. Many of us, I would dare say everybody in this room, is blessed, but not blessed to hang on to those resources. We are blessed to be a blessing. And the whole world and all the nations are to be blessed through us. So think about and consider how God has blessed you, and think about what God promises as He promises to bless us further. In Matthew 25, in the parable of the sheep and the goats, He speaks to this very issue. He says, come to Me and be blessed. Because every time you reach out to the poor, the broken, the downtrodden, you reach out to Me. You know, around the world, there are very few people like us. Most of the people are like the people in the pictures that you've seen here. And many, 2/3 of the world, don't know the name of Jesus. So we talk in Christian circles about the harvest being plentiful and the workers being few. And what that means is that who's going to tell all of these people they are loved by the Creator of the universe? Who will go as a witness to demonstrate the love that He has both for us and that is lived out through our words and actions? Pray, give, or go. The options are before you. Would you consider joining me now as we sit and pray for a few minutes in front of Jesus and having a casual conversation with Him about these three things? And I encourage you to listen carefully to what He may have to say to you about these things and what He wants you to do about your world, the world outside these doors, the world everywhere else that you can't be or haven't seen yet. As Jesus invites you to come and to be a part of what He's doing in redeeming this lost and hurting world. Would you pray with me? Lord, You are so, so very good. We praise Your goodness. We praise the blessings in our lives. We praise You for what You have done for us on the cross. Lord, we are so indebted to You, but it's not a debt that You ask us to pay back, but You ask us to take a step out in faith. You ask us to be a part of the work that You are doing. You're willing to use us, simple people who just are available in obedience, willing to do what You ask, willing to go where You tell us to go, willing to be a witness to Your glory, to Your hope, to Your love, to the blessing that You are in our lives, that is intended for every single person. Thank you, Lord, that you invite us into this work. Thank you that we have a role to play. And we are grateful for the opportunity to do that. Would you speak to each of us now in the next minute or two of silence? And help us to understand what you've created us for, our purpose and meaning, and how that can be a blessing for the whole world.